Hey there, this is Dr. Nick Good here with your superhero update, and I am sitting next to the legendary Dr. Sir Gabriel Cousins, my friend and mentor, and living superhero in the flesh, baby. And now I'm very glad to say a colleague of mine on the superhero training. So we're really glad you're joining us, Gabriel. Thank you so much.
I'm very happy to be part of this overall teaching and inspiration that we're creating.
Yay.
This is good. That you've created and I'm adding to here.
Yeah, well, you know, I think we've created this together. I think we've formatted it, but you've definitely been living the archetype and demonstrating that since what? Since you were 3.5 years old or something?
Right.
So I thought just before we start, it'd be nice just for Gabriel just to tell us a couple of little stories about his childhood and how he grew into this great servant and champion of light and consciousness in the world. And we are living in extraordinary times, and we are here to inspire you, and we want you to know that you inspire us by dedicating your life to expressing the highest potential that you have all the way across the board, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, and really landing it in this world in these very exciting times.
Yeah, okay.
So tell us a few stories, Gabriel.
Sure,
how were you freaking your mum and dad out when you're 3.5 years old?
So really the message in a certain way is there's two levels of superheroes. Some people are naturally superheroes without ever even hearing the title. And superheroes in that sense are bigger than natural. And I recall when I was 3, trailing my older brother around, who's 6 years older, so he's 9. And we used to climb up and jump off this porch that was two stories up, and jump and grab hold of a tree, which is maybe a 3-foot, 4-foot jump, and then climb down and go around. Now, maybe that's good for a 9-year-old, but for a 3-year-old, it's a little stretching the point. And my mother, when she saw that we were doing this, completely freaked out. But the point is, I didn't think anything of it. I actually didn't even see it as being unusual. It's just, I'm just following my older brother, and that's what's going to go. And he's jumping out, balconies on the, 2 stories up. I'm 3 years old. What difference does it make? I'm going to do that too. And so, in a very real way, the superhero is seeing no limitations, and at the same time, being greater than what's expected, but without actually thinking that way.
Wonderful.
You know, as I grew up, the same thing happened. Even though I wasn't the biggest kid in town, I was became the best athlete, did the most push-ups. In fact, when I was 6th grade, I did 61 push-ups. So when I was 60, I made a point of doing 10 times more. So at that point, I did 601 push-ups, approximately 10 times more. And it was just something I said to myself when I'm in 6th grade, this is what you're going to do when you're 60. It's like, it sounds ridiculous, but that's a little bit how superheroes think. There are no limitations.
Mm.
And in playing sports, I was the smallest guy on the football team. My parents almost didn't let me play, but thank goodness my older brother intervened to say, he may be small, but he's good. And became all-state type a football player, and also went down and was a ranking tennis player, and continued that on to college, where I was a captain of an undefeated Amherst College football team. And it's the same thing. People don't really believe that they can do it. And I remember at the beginning of the season, I said, anybody doesn't believe we're going to be undefeated, please quit, because we have to have a mindset that we can do this, and we did, and we were ranked 1 or 2 in the East, in small colleges, And maybe we weren't the best team, but spiritually we were the strongest team.
Mm.
And that's an important thing, because even football, and people don't think about it that way, but truly, there's a lot of spiritual energy. I mean, I can remember a game where we were playing the best team, Bowdoin. They were ahead 18 to nothing, and we beat them 19-18 in the second half. But it was a complete spiritual experience. The whole team became transformed, and I was like completely a zone in what we call the zone, and that transferred to everybody, and we won in the last 6 seconds. And in a sense, a superhero sees no defeat.
Mm.
And we're going to be undefeated, and that's it. So it continues in one's life. It's an attitude toward in one's life that you're bigger than regular.
Mm-hmm.
So in a sense, that's what we're talking about. The other thing, though, is that a superhero is really a spiritual hero.
Mm-hmm.
Is that even though I'm talking about football and I'm doing that on purpose, it's the spiritual thing that transforms you. We talk about push-ups. It's a spiritual thing that brings you to 601 push-ups at the age of 60. Doesn't mean you don't train. Doesn't mean I didn't train for a whole year to do that. But the point is that there's a spiritual essence in behind. And I'm going to call it the spiritual warrior.
Mm-hmm.
And we're at a very interesting time in history. We're moving out of Kali Yuga, which was controlled by the businessmen, which is what we're seeing in the mess in the world today. Here we are in 2012, and there's a transition. The next phase of the Kali of the Yugas is the spiritual warrior.
Mm-hmm.
And the spiritual warrior comes onto the planet, which is, I believe, the spiritual hero work that's being done, is about being a vanguard of those spiritual warriors to upgrade and transform the planet into a truly human, positive, healthy place to live, where everybody can have food and shelter and clothing, and we go back to the natural ways, and we create a healing of the planet.
Mm.
That's a lot about what the superhero is about. It's a spiritual thing, a warrior for the planet, not just being outstanding in your own life.
Yay, wonderful. So we're going to talk about a couple of components of that right now. I really want to talk a little bit about the meditation factors in there. But just before we get into that, I just want to comment on what Gabriel was saying there, where he was telling a little bit the snapshots of his life story there. You might be thinking, well, this is Gabriel Cousins. He's, you know, I wasn't jumping out of two-story buildings when I was 3.5 years old. I didn't have those abilities. You know, he's like a natural or something. But what we're talking about is an archetype of the spiritual hero, and it's the ascending part of us, which is eternally youthful. And so just because he acknowledged his power was you know, when he was very, very young, it doesn't mean that eternal youth, the Greek mythology refers to it as the puer eternus, is the ascending component of ourselves that's been demonstrated over and over and over and over in many, many, many stories and legends. David and Goliath is a perfect one, where this young energy, youthful, enthusiastic, adventurous, and very confident and bold energy can actually overcome seemingly impossible obstacles and challenges in the outside world.
Yeah, which is needed today.
Which is absolutely needed today. And this is the whole point. And this is who you are. You have that energy inside of you. Superhero training is to allow you to dismantle everything that you need to and dissolve everything that requires dissolving so that you can actually shine in that way. And the world is manifesting in an increasingly challenging way, providing us with terrifying, overwhelming challenges that we have to navigate. And so what we're really talking about here is tapping into the juice within you to allow you to do that easily and gracefully. So this is wonderful. So let's just talk about the spiritual warrior, because Gabriel is an absolute champion of spiritual practices. He's a very accomplished faster. He leads meditation programs all over the world, and the programs here at the Tree of Life are all steeped, absolutely soaked in spiritual potency. So let's just talk a little bit about the power of peace.
Mm-hmm. The power of peace is the key to the whole thing. In the middle of a football game, in the middle of whatever, one has to be completely empty inside. The samurai warrior practices the same thing. Complete emptiness inside, and that allows you to move in any direction. And that's why the superhero is primarily a spiritual hero. And it doesn't matter what they apply it to. I mentioned sports, but really in the spiritual path, it's the same thing. I spent close to 7 years in India, living in a Muktananda's ashram. And there are people, most of the people came and they meditated in the recommended hour a day. I could barely restrain myself holding it to 6 hours a day and 4.5 hours of chanting, okay, plus the service. And what my point is that when you're feeling the energy, there can't be any restrictions. So, but the result is that I was able to attain or wake up to the whole point of spiritual life. Other people there, they're spending time talking at the coffee shop and hanging out and playing at spirituality. The superhero does not play at spirituality. It's core to their essence. Mm. And core to that essence is the emptiness within, which is the source of all peace. So the spiritual hero is a person who's profoundly at peace. And so we're not against anything. We're moving towards creating more peace on the planet. It's not a dualistic thing. We're one with everything. We're moving towards that. They're bringing good food, good consciousness, and ultimately peace on the planet. Last night we did a Peace 21 meditation, which I've been doing since 1985, nonstop for each equinox and solstice. And then we also did a 3-hour chant of the names of God to amplify the energy of peace. We know that when enough people can do this, we will change the consciousness on the planet. We will. And that's the power of a spiritual warrior, is that we see the bigger picture and we're willing to do it. We're willing to be alone in that. Nick was just saying it's nice to team up, because most of the world is still in that commercial viewpoint of life is about how much you can accumulate, and the superhero, the spiritual hero, is saying no, life is about how much good you can do in transforming the planet directly.
Well said.
And that's key, and that's really what we're about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for myself, as I worked in the diabetes, and we really do have a significant cure for diabetes, and we're healing. With a vegan life food approach, we're healing 60% of the non-insulin dependent diabetics in 3 weeks, 24% of insulin dependent, and an amazing 21% of type 1s. And that's amazing, because that's supposed to be impossible. But again, for superheroes, what's impossible? So my point from there is that now we're sharing it around the world. I'm bringing it into Mexico. I've taken it to Nigeria and to Ghana. We're going into Ethiopia at a national level, because people really want to change. And part of that change is not the treatment for diabetes. It's going back to the natural ways. It's getting away from white flour, white sugar, and junk food, and bringing people into eating the natural foods that grow on their land, and teaching people how to do the farming, how to go back to organic farming, which is everybody's heritage. So this is kind of, again, the superhero, spiritual hero work is like, hey, we're transforming that. And also, we're getting started in Peru. I talked to the doctor who's head of a 22 different hospitals and wants to bring in this whole concept I'm teaching of treating diabetes, but also going organic, returning to the natural ways. So these are things that just become a natural thing. They're not like, oh, I think I'm going to think about doing this. It's like, this is the obvious, this is what a spiritual hero does. Mm-hmm. They're out serving the world. They're natural humanitarians.
Wonderful.
So that's, to me, part of it. And I don't want to lay that trip on the superhero school, but I think that's in alignment with what you're teaching.
Absolutely, yeah, we're all about it. The kind of individuals that we do attract, and we have quite a significant filtering system. We don't let anyone into it, and we are only interested in the individuals that are heart-driven and inspired to serve. Yeah. And that's why we've got an awesome family globally now. And yeah, this is very exciting. So
and it's just a natural thing for a superhero. It's not like I'm trying to be humanitarian. I'm not trying. It's just what is happening with the flow.
Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to underpin a little bit about the power of peace there, because obviously all of the foundations that we build the superhero training on, all the protocols that you guys are practicing, are to establish ever deepening peace with these various facets of your life. The data that we have received, primarily from the Transcendental Meditation Group, Dr. John Hagelin published all kinds of papers. The one in Washington, D.C. Springs to mind for me. You were mentioning the ones further north in last night. But the reduction
in Rhode Island. Yeah,
Rhode Island. But the significance in the reduction of crime, absolutely astonishing, simply caused by groups of individuals coming together and meditating at specific times.
In Rhode Island, there was a 43% drop over the summer with just 200 meditators in Rhode Island. People said, oh, that's a fluke. And then they came back the next summer and they got a 41% drop.
Mm-hmm.
Total crime in all the state of Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm. So it just goes to show how powerful we really are. And also, as we increase our numbers, how much more powerful we become. What was that interesting fact you were telling me a little bit before we started about the radiation factors and the meditators?
Well, what we're learning, and we're not quite there yet, I mean, this is June 2012, is that in Chernobyl, the people who meditated, the people who were exposed to radiation, who were right there, you know, living in that area, there was a group who chose to do a lot of meditation, and they had significantly less of the side effects and the cancers associated with the radiation exposure. We believe that the power of the human mind can nullify radiation. And so we're doing a little bit of experiments with the goal by 2012, December 21st, to have a worldwide meditation to eliminate the radiation effects on the planet.
Mm.
Now, that may sound outrageous, but we'll see. You know, I mean, because mm-hmm. it's measurable. Mm-hmm. It's not a theoretical discussion.
Yeah.
It's like either it goes away or it doesn't. We'll see. But the mind can alter it because there's something about radiation, which I don't understand, that's affected by the mind and it's affected by oxygen. And so there's a few pieces in there that as we design this and experiment with it, that we want to be able to bring out near the end of 2012.
Mm, fabulous.
You know, for the solstice 2012.
So superheroes are all about bringing our hearts and souls into that ever deepening levels of peace and filling up with the juice that we naturally are able to tap into, to absorb, to become one with. And one of the most interesting facts I ever found out was when we were putting this whole superhero training together years ago, you know, the genesis of it was actually before I came to the Tree of Life. This is like 8 or 9 years ago. I wanted to understand the nature of atomic power. And so I read a brilliant book. It was a biography of Einstein, Albert Einstein. And it had in it the original science for the original bombs that they used for Hiroshima and Nagasaki there. And one of the most fascinating things was that it said in this book was when they split the atom, when they bombarded the atom with electrons, and what they basically did was disturb the orbit of a natural orbit of electrons, mm-hmm. and prevented them from returning to their natural orbit until they wanted to detonate the bomb. And so they dropped the bomb, and then they would detonate it in the air just above mm-hmm. the ground. And the way what the detonation did was simply allow the electrons to return to their natural orbit. So what I concluded from that, the atomic equation, was that as the Atman and the Atma relationship and the atom, as we return, as we allow, as we dismantle these disturbing facets of our own psyche, these disruptive thoughts and these beliefs and attitudes and this mediocrity that now people are, you know, accepted as the standard of human being, as we dismantle those things, our natural power returns to us. And that Atman explosion is what changes the whole world, is what dissolves radiation, is what appears to do miraculous things.
Yeah, I like that. That's good.
Isn't that a wonderful illustration?
I think we are that nuclear explosion of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of power. I mean, yeah. We have so much more power. And that's the whole thing about a superhero, is they actually begin to understand that we actually impact the planet in a whole other way. Mm-hmm. And it comes from the emptiness of the peace inside that is unlimited energy.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So we are very well versed in many of these processes to dismantle these structures within us, within the psyche, and we know that it requires practice. Now, the nutritional factors in the equation, if we can imagine that we're allowing this spiritual energy to come in more and more and more into us, then of course the physical body is still challenged to express it in a dynamic and wonderful way. And of course, peace with the body was actually number one in the Sevenfold Peace of the Essenes. And obviously you've dedicated decades and decades and decades of your life to championing a way to achieve that peace. So what I'd love to just move into now is talking a little bit about these superhero protocols, these superhero nutritional protocols that we promote and that you promote. So why is it so important for a would-be spiritual warrior to eat the superhero protocols, according to those
right
lines?
Right. First, we have to do what I wrote in Spiritual Nutrition and Rainbow Diet in 1986. It's very straightforward. Spiritual nutrition means eating in a way that we become a superconductor of the divine. And that's a very simple concept.
Mm-hmm.
But if you see us as much more than physical, that we have, and I use the model, the yogic system, the 72,000 nadis, is we eat in a way that allows the energy to flow at its optimum throughout the 72,000 nadis, then we become a superconductor for the divine. So my diet was really designed to do that. But I have to say, this is not a new idea. The ancient rishis lived 2,000-3,000 years ago in India. The Taoist masters, the central core even of the Mormons, were all live foods. Mm-hmm. The initial teaching in the Torah, Genesis 1:29, that the herbs and seeds and the grasses should be your food, and the fruit of a seed-bearing tree, are all the same message. That the foundational diet is a plant source only diet that brings optimal health, well-being, but really brings spiritual awareness. As I began to put it together, we are this spinning vortex of energy. And I saw that when people eat meat, fish, chicken, dairy, and stuff, it acts as a sludge to that. And there's a long story behind that, but in this little interview, we're going to keep it to the highlights, I think, if I get it right. Mm-hmm. And that when you eat the live food, you become, again, the superconductor, so that frequency, it greatly increases. So that's kind of the essence of it. Now, what I make clear in the story is it's just not about live food. We really have to go organic, because the pesticides and herbicides are neurotoxins, carcinogens, and really poison the system, so we can't rise above the biocomputer mind, the biocomputer brain. And the name of the game is eating in a way that we transcend the biocomputer brain into higher consciousness. Mm.
And that biocomputer has been programmed with a tremendous amount of disinformation, mediocrity, and clutter.
When we move, that's exactly right. When we move beyond, we transcend the biocomputer mind and brain, we move beyond the mediocrity that's being sold as this is really what life is about.
This is the standard, yeah.
And we move into the highest octave of who we can be, which isn't really accepted. We've got to kind of get that. If you want to be a superhero, you're not really going to be so accepted, okay, in the media, because you're a threat to the system. A threat is about dumbing people down and helping them, in a sense, be participating slaves.
Mm-hmm.
And superheroes are just the opposite. They are they're a thorn in the side of the one world government, basically, is what we're saying. Because we're saying, you know, God didn't put us on this planet to be slaves. He put us on this planet to be sovereign, awake beings, to elevate consciousness. And that's the struggle that's going on, which we will win, even though it looks like we're totally outnumbered. We will win.
Mm-hmm.
And that turning point is really in 2012. That we're starting to win. So all that is going on in the sense. So we have to eat in a way that we can transcend the biocomputer brain-mind complex. And as we transcend it, we burn up all the myths and misunderstandings and misteachings and all the stories we take that have been inculcated by our parents and by the media and by our school system. And by all the voices of the world of mediocrity, the world of being a cooperative slave.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what we're talking
Wonderful.
About.
Wonderful. So what are the protocols, Gabriel? Yeah. What are the protocols?
So the first thing is understand that when we eat food, it's a love note from God. Food is not material. Food is the essence of the living planet, and the essence of the living planet is the Spirit of God. So when we eat, we have to eat with a certain consciousness. That's the first thing. Second thing is, it needs to be whole, organic food. Optimal is really going to be your 99 to 100%. Most people aren't comfortable with that until they get there. So we start with 80%. And what I find is if people do 80% live food, it may take longer. Well, it does take longer, but in a year or two, they get most of the changes you get in a few months going with the 100%. Okay, so you don't have to be 100%, but 80% live, organic, okay, has to be well hydrated. We have to be well hydrated. We need to be able to drink enough water to be urinating every 1 to 2 hours. That means you're hydrated, okay? It needs to be low glycemic, and that's a hard one for people. But when you look at longevity, you look at well-being, people that have blood sugars of, you know, 70 to 85, fasting blood sugars, and don't really go above 125 after they've eaten, really live longer and are more healthy. And what happens when you're running a high blood sugar, and that includes eating, you know, high sugar fruits and things like that, think, well, it's a fruit, it's not really white sugar, but it's not. The body sees it as fructose and glucose, and responds appropriately, in the sense of it does affect our consciousness. It accelerates all levels of decomposition mm-hmm. going on. We basically begin to compost when we bring a lot of sugar into our diet, even though it's you know, fruit or best, you know, live food desserts. And I know that people see that as, well, you know, we got to have a little fruit because it tastes better. Well, it does taste better, but it's not really better for you. So we want to keep that down to not more than 15 to 25 grams of fructose per day. That works, okay? The average American is taking 81 grams, so it doesn't work. You know, it accelerates heart disease, neurological degeneration, Alzheimer's very specifically, and lower brain function, lower kidney function. In other words, a slow, consistent degeneration. And that I've actually more explicitly documented in my second book on diabetes. There is a cure for diabetes, the new edition. And it is a problem, and we have to take it more seriously. So low glycemic and low insulin, low fasting insulin, because insulin is the death hormone. Insulin is associated with increased aging, increased cancer, increased atherosclerosis. And how do you get a low insulin? You don't eat sugar, and you don't have a lot of carbohydrates. Because carbohydrates stimulate insulin release.
Mm-hmm.
So those are two key things. Probably the most important, don't eat too much.
Mm.
Now, the advantage of live food is you can eat half as much and get all the nutrition you need. And when you really get that, you understand that we're turning on the anti-aging genes and the anti-inflammatory genes, which are, you know, key connected to aging, anti-cancer and antioxidant, anti-diabetic. So that is what's going on by eating really half as much. Now, how many calories should we have? What do long-lived people have? They have about half the calories that Americans have. I've kind of looked at it, you know, everybody's different sizes and weights and heights, but somewhere between 1,800 and 2,000 calories is a pretty full diet. And there are people who eat less than that, but if you can get down to that, you're going to be doing pretty well in terms of well-being, longevity. The whole idea is when you get up from the table, you should get up still a little hungry. And that's an easy way to guiding yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Chewing your food well is important because that activates all kinds of processes. It activates serotonin, activates all your digestion, has you eat slower so you don't eat too much. So eating too much is a huge part of being healthy. If you eat just a modest and the right amount, it's really going to help with your overall health and longevity, as been evidenced in all the long-lived groups of people. They don't overeat. Well, they don't have a lot of food to overeat to begin with. The other thing that's important, eat according to your constitution. You know, I have, in 1990, when my book Conscious Eating, I explain about the different constitutions, kapha, pitta, vata, fast oxidizer, slow oxidizer. Eat according to your constitution, because some people need more protein, some people need less protein. And you got to figure that out. And part of being a superhero is you got to pay attention. You got to be real conscious.
Mm-hmm.
And then you want your food prepared and eaten with love. Mm-hmm. Because food is a love note from God, but also we're putting love into it. Food has water. We prepare it with love. And we eat it with love. We're putting a frequency of love into the water, which we're taking into ourselves. So those are the key players in that. Just how you organize it has to do with your constitution. So those are all the key components of doing it. It is really important. I'm going to stress three things here. One is it's organic. And two is at least 80% live. You can get to that. That is, in my clinical observation the last 40 years, it's a key. We can make 80% live. It's like the turning point thing. Mm-hmm. If you can go further, it's better. You can become more of a superconductor for the divine.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, people have known this for hundreds of thousands of years. The Taoists, the yogis, you know, they all know this, that when you eat this way, you become a superconductor from the divine. And the food is peaceful.
Mm.
It's prepared peacefully, but it is also peaceful. And so it brings the frequencies of peace into your system.
Mm.
So those are the keys.
Wonderful.
You know, in a very simple way. There's a lot of information on why all this is true, but that's the essence in a nutshell.
Fabulous. So how can a superhero watching apply those protocols step by step starting from where they are today.
I think the key is what you just said, step by step.
Mm-hmm.
And so, be gentle with yourself. A superhero does not have to be harsh.
Mm-hmm.
Superhero has to love themselves enough to want to heal themselves.
Mm.
And part of the loving process is move at a pace that you can do this. So if you're eating meat, you know, you give up meat, and then you give up chicken and fish and you know, dairy, you know, just a progression. Some people do it all at once. That's what I did in 73. But, you know, it's just your style, too. And sometimes it takes a little bit of time. It may take a few months, may take a year. Doesn't matter, because you're going in the right direction. But that's what matters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? One steady step at a time, and then you move, and we have a little bit less grains because that raises the insulin and your blood sugars, and then we keep going till you kind of get there. Maybe it'll take you a few years. And the key, always be comfortable with what you're eating. If you're pushing yourself, there's a chance that you're going to rebound. So kind of stay at the upper edge of what works for you. And that's really the kind of the simple way to think about the transition. Love yourself, move at a pace that works, but keep moving.
Mm.
Keep walking.
So what's going to happen if they do this? What are people going to be feeling, and what are some of the challenges and obstacles that they might face on the way?
Yeah. We have a master's program in live food nutrition, and one of our students did a survey of 525 people who were on 80% or more live food for 2 years. And they found that 87%, that's a very high percentage of the people, felt a tremendous sense of well-being, more intellectual clarity, more spiritual clarity, more spiritual interest.
Mm.
So that's going on. Generally, your body literally feels light and clear and strong and flexible. And part of the superhero thing, and part of really being really healthy, is you have full access to your energy all the time. It's like I don't get down times. I don't have a slump in the day. It's like it's full on. Now, it doesn't mean you're running full on all the time. It means you have that reserve, and whenever you need it, whew, you can bring it up to just when you need it. So any time during the day, you're ready to be full on 120 plus. But you're still also going through life at a pace that keeps you comfortable. But you have that reserve. Most people aren't operating with a lot of reserve. Most people are not operating at full capacity, 100% of the time. So that is actually what it feels like. You are a full capacity all the time.
Mm.
And that energy's there, energy's flowing, and you can feel it. You really do feel, and that's how I got the term, you feel your superconductor of the divine. You feel the energy going through you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it feels like. And it feels really good, but there's a sense of wholeness in that whole thing. And strength and power, not in an egoic way, but that you really have an organism that you're inhabiting that's really working for you.
Mm.
And so you don't feel any limitations for that. You know.
Let's talk about some of the challenges that one might face as we start to move in this direction, and what are the steps that we can do to overcome those challenges.
I'm just laughing. Superheroes in my universe don't see challenges. We just see learning curves. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's like, challenge, I don't know. I don't, you know, just, so, but nevertheless, the biggest thing is our belief systems and our habits. And if we really see ourselves as unlimited and unconditional in that way, we look at whatever's going on and we don't even make it a challenge. Okay, we just say this is just what I have to deal with, and I'll move through it. And that may seem simplistic, but it's all attitude. Okay, we're all a little different, and I don't want to use myself as an example too much, but you know, it's like, I moved to being a vegan in literally one day, okay? And live food, when I got that was right, it was a one-day thing. Now, I'm not saying everybody should do that, but it's an attitude. It's like, I don't care. That's what's best. That's what I do. It's not that complicated. So if we see it as uncomplicated, we see ourselves as having power over ourselves to do whatever we want because our body is here to serve us. We're not here to serve the body. Then our body works for us. And it will do what we say. In other words, consciousness controls the mind. The mind, ego, does not control consciousness. So with the superego, we're beyond all the limitations of the mind that gets put, oh, we got a challenge, and we have this problem, and I have that problem, and, you know, I've been eating this way for, you know, my whole life. How am I going to change? Those are mental constructs. I teach a course called The Zero Point that follows the fast and the spiritual fasting, and that is showing people how to literally very quickly dissolve all our constructs that keep us from being the fullest we can be. So that's really the essence. So in my little universe, I don't see challenges, okay? I see opportunities for growth. And if we take it that way, it's like, oh, this is going to enhance me. I'm going to meet this, and I'm going to go further, and I'm going to just further expand. So it's more like, this is fun. I'm just going to go for this.
So in that model, then, we're talking about a learning curve. And your progress may slow on that learning curve, and that's perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with slow and steady progress, as long as we remember that it is a learning curve, and that we are moving forward, and that consciousness is the master of the mind and the body. That's a beautiful thing to emphasize there, and it's something that we emphasize a lot in the superhero training. We call zero point soul consciousness.
Nice. And we're not really here to support the body. The body's here to support us. So we don't want to be controlled by the body, which is part of the egoic structure. It is here to serve us. Our job is to take care of the body so well that there's no obstruction. The body's in complete seamless service with us because it's completely functional.
Wonderful. So what's the one thing that anyone watching can do now to take the next step to greatness and make this a reality, this 80 or 99, 100%?
It's kind of simple in a way. One just needs to love themselves enough to want to heal themselves. When you love yourself enough to want to heal yourself, there is no conditions. It's unconditional love in a very practical way. It's like, I love myself enough to heal myself. I'll do whatever I need to do to make that happen. And I'm not going to let my ego undermine me saying, oh, you can't do this and you're not ready to do that. It's like, wait, I love myself unconditionally. Therefore, I'm going to act unconditionally to optimize my overall beingness. Because I simply love myself enough to want to heal myself and become the spiritual hero and the superhero that I'm meant to be, that's there inside of me.
Wonderful. Great stuff. So we're going to provide you with some links to more of what Gabriel's been talking about in greater depth and detail, so you can check that out on the page with this video. And just as like a final note, what would you love to say to these people watching this Gabriel, if they might be looking out with a little trepidation at the way the world's appearing these days with the radioactivity and the economic potential catastrophes and the constant onslaught of media negativity and blah, 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 blah. We could go on all day about the way the world is appearing these days. And what would you say to them if they're feeling a little trepidation about really giving it 100% and stepping into their full power?
I think that's natural. I think before we step in spiritually, there's usually a little fear. I think it's okay to acknowledge the fear and say, I'm bigger than the fear. My love for myself is greater than my fear. That's really an important little thing. We teach a few courses. I teach the spiritual fasting, which really helps people understand your spiritual greatness. and then the zero point, which is helps you get rid of all the idea. Really, the idea of the personality is a case of mistaken identity is really important. We teach the conscious eating. In other words, we teach the empowerment skills in very specific ways. And so But the bottom line is, no, all the help is there for you if you choose it. We're offering part of that. Obviously, the whole course that you're giving people is the foundation for that. But, you know, we're offering some very specific things to help people kind of move in that direction. So the help is there. And so know you're not alone.
Mm.
Know we're here to help you. Know that the deeper consciousness of the world is going to support your evolution, and you're part of the evolving consciousness on the planet. And see yourself rather nicely, but be part of an emerging whole, an emerging greatness for the healing of self and the planet.
Mm. Wonderful. So what's the website then, the Tree of Life website?
It's drcousins.com. It's a simple way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that has all the programs and all the different things we're doing. I mean, we have lots and lots of programs. I mean, we're taking, in 2012, December 21st, we're taking people on a tour to Israel. And we're going to gather for one 24-hour cycle of chanting mm-hmm. in the middle of the desert. We're showing people all over the place. I mean, to me, Jesus was a superhero. We will be going to the Sermon on the Mount and all the different places and to be inspired. And then you talk a lot about David and Goliath. There are a lot of superheroes coming out of that little space there.
Yeah.
And it's good to touch into that superhero energy.
Mm.
But again, the basic trainings are there. So in a sense, you know, check out the website and we're here to support you.
Mm. Yeah.
We're here to help you become the superhero that you really are in your latent state.
Yay. So blessings, blessings, blessings. I hope you've been inspired by this and get a little more clarity with the protocols and how to manage certain facets of your nutritional programs. And just want to say that the rewards for navigating through that learning curve, no matter how slowly you go, are absolutely wonderful. The way you feel inside, the peace that you experience, and this notion of being a superconductor for the divine, just getting closer and closer and closer to God, or whatever you want to, whatever term you want to use to describe that great eternal mystery. There's nothing in the world that even comes close to comparing to that. And that's what superhero training is all about. And although you might feel alone or you might have felt alone, we are growing very quickly in numbers. And as people become more and more and more increasingly disenchanted with all of the materialistic propaganda, as refined as it gets and whatever, and shift into that, just that pure, natural, spiritual connection and fusion, and supporting that with the optimal nutritional strategies, my goodness, life just takes on a whole new meaning, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think that the thing is to really get, again, you're not alone, and you love yourself enough to want to heal yourself, and understand, even though I talked about the physical nutrition, that breathing is very, very important. People really breathe, deep breathe, you know, 5-10 minutes a day, have a whole lot more pranic, you know, life field, life force energy. The idea is to take in nutrition from every element that the earth and the atmosphere are offering us. So we really become a full energetic being. Why? Not to have energy, but so that we can evolve spiritually and we can be part of the healing and transformation of the planet. So the superhero tends to have some other agenda of service, each person that's individual for. And I also want to say, as we put together the food program, it is conscious, and you have to do it that's really, really right for you. And that may take a few years to get it really honed. So you really have to become your own researcher on yourself.
Mm.
And, you know, we can give you outlines, but you've got to fill in the details.
Mm-hmm.
It's important. But you're it. You know, it's your creation. We're here to support you in making your creation. The ultimate spiritual path really is a sovereign path. You have each person naturally, I'm going to say naturally, becomes their own unique expression of the divine. You're not to be like me or like Nick. one naturally evolve in this very pleasant way of life. I mean, this is a fun way to live. That's the key thing, you know, is you're having a good time all the time. You will become your own unique expression, and keep that in mind as part of the thing. You love yourself enough to want to heal yourself and become your unique expression of the divine.
Hmm.
May you be blessed with this in this way.
Wonderful.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Gabriel. Really appreciating you.
Good.
Yay.
Very good.
So blessings, you guys. Stay tuned and do the best you can and enjoy the ride. It's a fun life. And amazing possibilities ahead. Remember, you're the one. It counts. Everything you do, it counts. Your thoughts, words, actions, the way you feel all the time, it really makes a difference. We love you. Talk to you soon. Aloha.
Aloha.